Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Maseches Bechoros Daf Mem Aleph. We begin at the Mishnah, which is around 10-12 lines off the top of the Amud. Here come more examples of blemishes that don't really qualify as real blemishes, which allow the Bechor to be shechted, you know, anywhere. It's an imperfection, so to speak, which takes away from the wholeness, the completeness, the tumim aspect of the animal, in which case it's unsuitable for processing as a carbon in the Mikdash, but nonetheless, it doesn't qualify as a proper blemish to be shechted anywhere. It's in limbo. Nishtahi nishtaher. That's the Mishnah. Ve'elu she'en shechten alein. The following conditions will result in an interesting situation where you can't shecht due to these conditions. Lo'i b'migdosh, lo'i b'medina. Not on the base of Mikdash, because it's lacking in completeness and wholeness. It's not, you know, it's imperfect. Nor can you shecht it, you know, anywhere else. It's in limbo until a proper, real mum surfaces, which would allow you to shecht it anywhere. Okay, so here's a list. Chavarvar, these are the flecks in the eye, v'amayim, shein kvuim. So his eyes are tearing, but, you know, these don't seem to be, you know, permanent, constant conditions. They come and they go. The inner gums, shenifkamu, which were injured, which were avaloshenek, but they weren't totally missing. So they're notched, they're injured, they're missed, they're, you know, but they're not totally gone. So it's imperfect, but it's not a qualifying move. It's not clearly, you know, visible from the outside of the animal. Ubal garav, ubal yabelis, ubal chazazis. Garav is some sort of growth. Boil, a pimple, by yabelis, chazazis, different types of growths and pimples and boils, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Zokin, the animal's past a certain age where it's already quivering due to old age. V'choyle, likewise, is ill, exhibiting signs of illness and weakness. Umezuham, foul smelling. V'shenevdu by avera, a person interacted physically improperly with the animal. V'shehemis adam, or the animal killed a person. These were, this information was brought forth by the owner himself, who conceded that his animal was involved in this, or an edecha, a single witness, because if it was two witnesses, then the animal would be put to death and it would not be relevant. So we're speaking that we know the facts, but it doesn't justify killing the animal. The tumtum v'adreikinus. Oh, tumtum, his gender signs are covered over, concealed, in which case hard to identify, hard to classify the gender of the bechor, which must be a zachar, by the way, right? To be kaddish, androgynous, or he has both gender signs. Loi b'migdash, loi b'medina. You don't shecht either in the Migdash or the Medina. So Tanakama holds that tumtum b'androgynous is a no man's land. Why? Rashi explains because it's a suffix. He has these conflicting or unknown gender designations, in which case he's a suffix. Is he a zocher? Is he in a keva? So you can't shecht him anywhere, because maybe he's in a keva, doesn't qualify as a bechor for the Mikdash. Maybe he is a zocher, so you can't shecht him anywhere outside the Mikdash. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, there's a gizr Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, he says, an adreganus, you can't get a bigger blemish than that. Ein lecha mum gadol mizeh. Rashi explains because the nakvas, the female sign, is a mum. It's a cut in the skin, and certainly you treat him as a baal mum, and you can shecht him any way you want. V'chachamim oimrim, they take a third approach to the androgynous. Androgynous, he's not just a suffix. He's not a zachar with a mum, as per Rabbi Shmuel Shita. No, he's a a new class on his own, a new type, a new entity. He's not a Bukhar. You can share his will, can work with him. Rashi says, Bria b'fnei atzmai. It's a new class of gender. Okay, so we have three shittas on the androgynous. Tanakama says, we don't know what he is. Rav Shmuel says, we know that he's a zachar, but comes along with a blemish due to the nakvas feature that he has. Chacham say, a brand new entity. Okay, let's go back first to the Gorov, to the other cases, and then we'll closely analyze this discussion about the Tumtum Androgynous. V'Gorov loy, so Gorov does not qualify as a proper mum, except Gorov by Reis, that's in the Pasuk, listed amongst the mumen. How could you say this growth, this wart, is not an issue, is not a mum? Likewise, V'Chazazis loy, likewise Chazazis, is not considered a proper mum, except V'Alefes by Reis, so. The Torah lists Yalefes amongst the Mumin, and as we're going to see in a second, Yalefes and Chazazis are one and the same condition. But Tani, we have a Braisa. Gorov is a Cheres, a dry type of Shchin, like dry clay, right? It's like hard and dry. Yalefes has another name, Zu Chazazis HaMitzris. Okay, so Yalefes and Chazazis go hand in hand, and Yalefes is clearly labeled as a Mumin in the Torah. Why is Chazazis sometimes referred to as Yalefes in terms of its function? Shemalafefes vayleches, it enwraps the person and stays with him permanently. You can't heal it, doesn't go at Yom until he dies. Okay, so it's a double kash. The Mishnah does not consider Gorov and Chazazis, which is really Alephis, as proper mumin, whereas the Pasuk seems to count him in as proper mumin. Bishlema Chazazis. A Chazazis Lekash. We can answer the question of the Chazazis. There are two types, two variations. One is more serious, one less. Kan b'Chazazis HaMitzris. The Pasuk is speaking about a Chazazis HaMitzris, a more severe form, which is permanently blemished. Kan b'Chazazis Da'ama. I'm just talking about a lighter form, which is not considered a proper permanent blemish. Ela Gorov, a Gorov Kashi. But what about the stira between Gorov and the Mishnah, which is not a mum, and the Gorov and the Pasuk, which is a mum? Once again, different strains of this Gorov. Some are mum, some not. Some could be healed, some are permanent conditions. Gorov, a Gorov, nami le Kashi. That too can be answered like this. Habalach, habiyamish. Depends if it's moist or dry. Lach itasi. Lach can be healed. Yavish, let me tasi. Once it's dried up, it just stays there permanently. It's not going to heal. Ask the Gemara. Valach mitasi. It has moisture. It's gonna heal. Voksiva a pasuk by the Teichacha. Hashem says, Hashem warns. Yakacha Hashem b'shchin Mitzrayim. Hashem will strike with Shchin Mitzrayim. The pasuk continues. Uba Gorov, okay. Uba Gorov. Ube Charas, and Charas apparently is the Cheres, the dry one. Asher loytucha liRafei, which has no remedy. Now umidechsiva uba Charas. Once the pasuk mentions uba Cheres, which is the dry variety, Hari Gorov Lach Amor. So apparently Gorov, the word before Cheres, describing a different condition, is the Lach, is the moist one, right? Cheres is the dry, and Gorov is a Lach. And what does the Pasuk say about it? There's no way to heal it. You're telling me that moist can be healed? You're right, there are three variations of the Gorov. El Tlasah, as follows. Dekra Yavish Main Mibifnim Bein Bechutz. The Gorov mentioned by the blemishes, that's an absolute permanent condition, that's when it's dry inside and out. No remedy there. The Maslisin, on the other side of the spectrum, we have the Mishnah Bayas, which does not count it as a mum. Lach b'chutz b'fnim. It's moist on the outside and inside. It could be healed. There's hope. The Mitzrayim, the third example of Gorov, discussed by the Teichacha, the one in Mitzrayim, has an element of dryness as well. Yavish, mifnim, dry from the inside, which preempts any remediation. V'lach machutz, and moist from the outside. Tachsiv, and we find that it corresponds with the way the Torah describes the Shechin in Mitzrayim back in Bnei Yisrael's time. But here Shechin a boy's like flowing, it's like moist. Parech b'adam, growing in the Mitzrayim. Okay, so bottom line, different types of Gerev, the dry ones cannot be healed, but otherwise they could. Bazokin, Bachel, Bamizor. These three are also disqualified. They're not absolute mumin, but not fit for hakrava. How do we know? Tanu rabbanan min hatzoyim, min is an exception only from the tzoyim, min hakvasim, min ha'isim. So all these mins are excluding certain elements. Prat lazakin, we exclude the older animal, v'lachayla, the ill, mezuim, and the foul smelling. But tzricha, and there's a reason why the pasuk has to relate to all three, rather than learning one from the other. Each one has a unique element, unfound in the other. Utzricha, because Rachman al muti zakin, the Torah only ruled out the older one, the lehadabari, because that condition is not going to correct itself. It's a permanent condition. I'm a choylo dadabari, but an ill animal, which can correct itself. Emile, perhaps that's not so severe. Because of Rilmute choylo, on the other hand, they're only ruled out the choylo, dal burche, that's not regular to get sick, so he's disqualified. But the older one, is just a matter of age. It's the norm. Emile, perhaps, nothing wrong with him. Because of Rachman, it's right. And if they're only ruled out two items, Lamute hani, so these would be excluded. The Khishi, because they have weaknesses that come along with their condition. Choyle, Zakin, Aval Mazuam, but the foul-smelling animal, he has no physical weakness to him. Like Kachish, Emelay, perhaps that's not an issue. Vinami, on the other hand, we can say, what is Zuam? Had the Torah only ruled out the foul-smelling one, Mishim Lemoyz, because it's ugly, it's disgusting. Aval Hanit, Lemizi, the other ones don't have that element. Emelay, perhaps they're okay. Tzrichi, hence, we need three exceptions relating to these three conditions, each one on its own. An animal which was involved in that beira is also out of luck. But not even, how do we know? Tanu rabbanan min habehema, loitzi raveya venirva min from behema, not all, excluding the raveya who initiated interaction with a woman, venirva interacted by with a man, min habakar. What's that coming to exclude? It's a nevad, as opposed to an animal which was worshipped, min hatzoyin. That's coming loitzi as a muksa, animal which was designated for other worship. The extra above, of min hatzoyin, lohitzis hanegeach, to exclude an animal which killed a person. How do you make talaninu, asked the Gemara? Well, if these animals were involved in these inappropriate deeds, they're condemned lemisa, they're not around anyways. There are no two witnesses to condemn them, rather it was just one witness, or the owner conceded. In which case, on the one hand, they're not going to be killed. On the other hand, we believe it enough to disqualify it from Hakrov. Okay, now the Mishnah ruled out the Tumtum and Adragus. Why? Bishleim a Tumtum, but Migdash Loi. I understand why you can't take a Bechor of a Tumtum and process him in the Beis HaMigdash, because maybe he's a Tilma Nekeva. Maybe he's a female. In which case, he has no Kedushas Bechor, which is limited to male. Bimedina Loi, on the other hand, you can't Shecht him in the backyard. Dilma Zacharu. It's an unknown, right? Maybe he's a Zachar, in which case he belongs in the Migdash. It's a male without a blemish. Okay, that explains the Tumtum. Why the Tumtum is in limbo. El Androgynous. What's wrong with the Androgynous? Bishlam Migdash Loi. Certainly you can't process him in the base of Migdash as a Kerb and Dumun Nekevi, because maybe he has the status of a Nekevi, in which case a Bechor Nekevi is not Kaddish. El Abim Medina. What's wrong with just shachting him outside? Anywhere. Need the Zachar. Consider the chance, the possibility that he's really a Zohar. Okay, even so, he's a Zohar, but he has the Nakvas, which should be considered a blemish. To split in the skin, it should be considered a blemish. So he's a blemished Bechor. Okay, blemished Bechor, a Balmum, you're free to go. He's a Zohar, that's a Nakvas. The Nakvas should be considered a Charitz. The Pasuk lists, Charitz as one of the Mumim. A scrape, an indentation in the skin. Vishkatalan shecht on account of that mum. Amar Abaye, charetz is only something more serious than the bone. Not just, a split in the skin. Amar Akra, charetz is shavar. You see, the Torah wraps together charetz and shavar. And shavar means a broken bone. Charetz as well is a split, a nick in the bone. Charetz is dumya compared to shavar. Ma shavar b'mokim etzim, just like shavar relates to the broken bone. Avcharis, likewise, charis is a bone-related blemish, mokem etzim, as opposed to nakvus, which is merely in the skin. It's more of a surface blemish. Rav Amar says, Rav, I'll give you another reason to discount this, this issue. Below shavar nami lematzis amris, even without Abaye's linkage between Charetz and Shofar even without that correlation. You cannot suggest that Charetz b'mokim basar habimum, that a split, an indentation just in the flesh, just on the surface, qualifies as a mum. Because the Sakatat HaMum, if in fact it's really halakhically regarded as a mumma, then I have a question. Given the Amar, Mar, let's recall, a minute ago we said, Garav, that's one of the mumen in the Torah, is really cheres, that's the dried up, you know, wart, which inevitably has a recession beneath it in the skin. Zeo cheres. So it must be Michratz Charetz that there's a Charetz beneath it. Why? The Chesiva Mar'ehu Omek Min Ha'or. Rashi explains that one of the forms of Negoim is Shchin. So if this is a Shchin, it's indented. As per the way the Torah describes a Negad, the Chesiva Mar'ehu Omek Min Ha'or, it looks deeper than the skin around it. Kamari Chama Mukim Natseo, like sun, which appears deeper, recessed, versus the shade around it. So once we know that the Garab slash Charetz has a recession, why even mention it in the Torah? Once you know Charetz, why mention Charetz, which is a plain recession, and also Garab, which is worse off? It's a boil, which also has a recession. Let the Torah suffice with just Charetz on the list of Mumin. So now we know a blemish in the skin is a problem. Without mentioning Garab, it's unneeded. But I mean, I'll figure it out myself. Charetz, is having Mumin. Charetz, which doesn't have any repulsiveness to it. It's just a split in the skin. Is a Mumin, certainly. Garab de moy is garab, which is also ugly. It's a boil, it's a wart, the koshkin. Of course it's a problem. Of course it's a mum. So why then did the Torah mention garab? Kosav rachman garab. You know why the Torah writes garab? Lamemer to tell us that the charutz b'mokim basal have a mumma. No. A recession within just the flesh, just the surface indentation is not a mum. Okay, that's why it necessitated adding Garav to the list. I wouldn't know Garav. Just because it's recessed, that's not an issue. If not for the fact that it's also Garav, a boil. Okay, so bottom line, the question was androgynous. Why is the Nakvas not considered a mum? Why should it be? Is it Charetz? So the Abaye Charetz has to be bone related. Based on the correlation between Charetz and Shofar. Likewise, Rav agrees from a different angle. So this is only Tanakama. Androgynous is just an uncertainty, it's a suffix, but it doesn't have a mum. Rav Shmuel says, what do you mean? Even if he's a Zachar, but he's a Baal Mum. Because the Nakvas feature presents a blemish. Apparently, he's disagreeing with Abaye and Rav, who don't consider it to be a blemish. Kabai lo yamar. So he didn't agree with Abaye. Abaye's linkage. Charetz, the shover, lamri. You don't compare Charetz to shover. Shover is in the bone. Charetz can be in the skin. It qualifies as a mum. Kerava nami lo yamar. Likewise, he didn't go with Rava's approach. Dil mehechad lo minkra. Yeah, maybe an indentation in the recession in the skin, which is not so visible, that's not considered a mum. Avalecha the minkar, if it's totally exposed and visible, like the nakvus of the behema, it's all minkar, says Rashi. Mumra karinim, of course it qualifies as a mumra, hence it's considered a bal mum. We turn to Amidris. So Bishmol is responding to the Tanakam, who says that androgynous is perpetual state of uncertainty. He says, no, it has a mum. Now, is he agreeing that it's really a suffix, just even if it's a zachar, it's a bal mum? So at best he's a zachar with a mum, in which case you can shecht him anywhere, or perhaps he's disagreeing in principle. Androgynous is not a suffix. He's considered a male. Just a male with a mum. Could be shechted anywhere. By Rav. Here comes Rav Ishai. My time to Rishmol. What's Rishmol's position on this androgynous? Mivshet pshitali androgynous b'charu. Umumay imay. Is it clear to him that androgynous has the status of a b'char, meaning he's a male, on account of his male presentation? But umumay imay comes along with a mum, as we explained, the nakvas presents a mum. Idumu or sifukim esapkali. Rishmol also had that same suffix. He has conflicting gender signs, so we're not sure. V'im timtza le'mekamai. He was simply adding another dimension. Even if you assume that he's a zachar, don't worry, he's a mum. Im timtza le'mebachar, even if he's a bachar, harimu me'imai, he comes with a mum. Now, what's the difference? Either way, Rabbi Shmuel allows it to shecht it. Says, Gmur, not afkamina, what's the point of asking the question? Big afkamina. Two things. L'milka le'mishim gizav avayda. Suppose a fellow shares the wool off this androgynous, or he works with him, which is forbidden. If in fact it's a true Bukhar, right? Even a Bukhar Balmum, right? You're not meant to share or work with it. So it depends. If Rabbi Shmuel considers him a Bukhar with a Mum, so there's Malkus, he gets lashes for doing this. But otherwise, if he agrees that we don't really know what he is, then you can't give him Malkus. Because maybe he's in a cave, but he's not a Bukhar. Inami, another difference. Who does it go to? Does the Kohen get it or not? The mitzvah of the Kohen. Should I give it to the Kohen? If it's a Bukhar with a Mum, it goes to the Kohen. But if it's a Safek, then Israel keeps it. Right? As per the general formula, when you try to extract money, you got to prove your case. Hamitz v'chleil v'rayo, which the Kohen can't. Tashma, here comes a riot to this question. Rabbi Loi, I'm Hashem Rabbi Shmuel, who goes to Rabbi Shmuel, and you're against Bukhar, who is a Bukhar. He is a Bukhar. He's a Zachar with a Mum. Shema Hamino. Okay, so now we have clarity. Mivshat Pshitalei, that it's clear to him that in fact he's a Zachar with a Mum, rather than a Safek. No, Vidulma im Timtzalem Akamar. Maybe he wasn't really sure. It was just on account. Even if he's a Bachar Zachar, he has a Mum. But maybe really he has a Safek. Tashma, here comes another Raya. Pasuk by the Oila. Tashma, Zachar has to be a male. Vilay in a cave as opposed to in a cave. Kshayim Lamata. So further down the psukim, we have again Zachar. Shein Tamalayim, what's the point of mentioning it again? Matamalayim, Allah Yitzhi Tumdim Adragimus. To exclude the Tumdim Adragimus. Now, who is speaking in this price? Mani, Ilim Tanakama, is it Tanakama? Who says Adragimus is a perpetual uncertainty? Sveka, what's a Safek? Vasi Kra, Lumute Sveka. Does the Pasuk then have to come and rule out a Safek? Hashem knows who he is. Is he a Zachar? Okay, we don't know. So, of course, we always go to Chumrah. Like in any matters of Torah, we have a Safek, we go to Chumrah, we're not going to use him as a Karm. We don't need the Pasuk to tell us that. El Rabbanu Basra. Okay, another option. The opinion in this price reflects the Rabbanu Basra, it means the third cheetah that we had in the Mishnah, that the androgynous is a Briya B'Fnei Atzmo, it's its own entity, and therefore unqualified to be brought as an Oila. Well then, yeah, it's true. The end result is true, but the sourcing is probably... Why do we need two psukim? Mechad kor nafki. They can learn that of one pasuk. Zachar means no nekeva, no tumtum, no dragoness. Why do we need two separate psukim? Dehogavi b'char chad zacharu d'chsiv, v'kom mati kulu minayu. The same happened by b'char. There's only one pasuk which says it has to be a zachar, and automatically we know zachar means zachar as opposed to everything else. We don't need a new pasuk to exclude this and that and the other thing. Elapshita Rishmoyle. The only available option is to pin this price on Rishmoyle's shita, and that will explain why we need two pasuk to rule out the nekeva, and then another pasuk to rule out the tumtum adragnus. Because, so now let's go back to our question. If Rabbi Shmuel was clear to him that really androgynous is a zachar with a mum, that explains why we need a special pasuk. That by the oila, it has no kedusha. So by the Bukhar it's considered a Zachar with a Mum, but by the Oila there's a new Pasuk to say Rabbi Yisai, it's not going to be Kaddish at all, unless it's a pure Zachar. That explains why we need extra Pasuk. Eli Amas Mesap Galei. But if, truthfully, Rabbi Shmuel wasn't sure about the status of an androgynous, is he this, is he that? So back to the old question. Why do we need a Pasuk to exclude him? Isra Krala Muti Sveka, since when does the Pasuk have to come and rule out uncertainties? If you don't know, you keep away. So perhaps we can conclude based on this whole calculation, according to Bishmoel, androgynous is a zachar with a mum. No, loylum rabbanu basroi. No, perhaps the Braisa here is expressing the third cheetah in the Mishnah, the rabbanon. Not Rabbi Shmuel, in which case you have no clarity on Rabbi Shmuel's position on this matter. As to your question, why do we need two separate psukim? Well, guess what? Rabbi Bukhar and Tati Kroyksiv, Rabbi Bukhar as well. Bukhar Nambi, Trey Kroyksiv, Rabbi Bukhar as well, we have two psukim. To exclude all these entities, we have Hazachar, okay, to exclude the Nekeva. Now we have again Vahazacharim to exclude the Tumtum Adragonus. So the same by the Oilam. We wouldn't know to exclude all these entities if not for a separate pasuk. Okay. We'll leave the rest for tomorrow. B'ezras Hashem. Let's just recap today's daf. Discussed semi blemishes, which disqualify from Hakrov and the Migdash because of its imperfection, but it doesn't qualify as a proper room to shecht it, you know, anywhere. We had a whole long list of examples. We had some kashas from the pasuk. We resolved, explained different variations of these conditions. Some qualify as mum, some don't. We added zak and chayla mezuam, nevda by avera. Then we started a discussion regarding the androgynous, which had three opinions in the Mishnah. Tanakama says safik. Rabbi Shmuel says there's a mum. Tanakama disagreed. It's not a mum unless it's a more serious type of blemish. And lastly, we have the Chachamim, which say, well, it's a new entity, it's a Briya Chadasha, Briya Fnei Atzma, this androgynous. And certainly, it doesn't qualify as a Bechor, it's not a Zachar, it's not even a Nekeva, it's something else. Actually, we weren't really sure about Rabbi Shmuel's position. He says it has a Mum, but is it because it's a Zachar with a Mum, or perhaps he agrees that it's a Safik to begin with. But even if it's a Zachar, it has a Mum, in which case you're free to shecht it anywhere on account of that Mum. We left it a bit unresolved. And tomorrow, with Hashem, we're going to dwell on the other unique breed, which is the Tumtum, discussed in the Mishnah. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.